listeners go loser, suffer, cat, rat, 3D, hide and seek, and so on. There used to be some pretty good fights too among the boys during those unsupervised periods. Maybe you developed a little more leadership though than her for her so supervised.
Yeah.
And good things. Behind every church was a long church shed with stalls for several horses. The school stood between the Adventist and the congregational churches, so the sheds were available on each side, a good place for playing hide and seek. A board placed over the low partition between the stalls made an ideal seesaw, so teetering became a favorite activity. On rainy days, a favorite pastime was sliding down the banister along the stairs. The larger girls stood at the foot of the stairs to catch the small guy, who might not be able to stop in time. Those railings were worn smooth. Another favorite sport was jumping the rope. This involved teamwork. Six girls with three long ropes lined up a few feet apart. The rest of the girls lined up in a single line facing the ropes. The object was to see if each girl can run and jump over each rope as it was being turned without missing. It really took some skill to synchronize one's running and jumping with that of the revolving ropes, but there were some that could do it. This gave each one plenty of exercise and lots of fun. Once in a while in the winter, the long stovepipe got full of soot, and the school had to be dismissed while someone came and cleaned out the pipe and chimney. Then we liked to walk down town before going home so we could watch the village blacksmith heating the irons at his forge and pounding them and shaping them on his anvil, making the sparks fly. And then he would hold the horse's foot against his leather apron, fitting a nail in the horseshoe in place. Then, too, we'd have time to go to the stores. And if we were lucky enough to have a penny in our pocket, we could buy a stick of white lady gum with a ring to be worn on the finger. All this for a penny. Those good old days. There were three or four stores when I started the school. Mungren Lewis on Main Street, Dittaker on Washington and Main, Howard's two-story store at the corner of the Washington and Depot Street. The second floor was a furniture department. And then Mrs. Smith had a gift shop in the front room of her home on Washington Street, where we could buy pretty colored glass dishes, tiny pocketbooks, tiny bottles, and so forth, ranging in price from 5 to 25 cents. Mm. That was in the house just east of the, we used to call it the Maccabee Hall, but it's a big apartment building.
Oh, yeah.
Near the church, and she had a gift shop there.
Mm.
Other buildings were the post office, meat market, barbershop, that was combined with a jewelry shop, drugstore, saloon, millinery shop, where the milliner would trim your hat any way you wanted it, two doctor's offices, a dentist's office, an undertaking room, and that was in Howard Schaefer's present barber shop, you know already, on Main Street, place right next to the Chevrolet building.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little, but they just kept the caskets and made them out of it, generally in those days here. The funeral director came to the home and took care of the body of the corpse, but it didn't let the head of the day of the funeral.
Mm.
And then they had the GAR Hall, where Civil War veterans held the meetings, and there was an ice house on the East Riverbank, and of course the depot, schoolhouse, three churches, and maybe 4 dozen houses. That was the village designed it, and I guess.
There's changed a lot.
Since this was purely a farming community, hitching posts were in front of every business place, and when a circus came to town, or at a 4th of July celebration, on Election Day, or any other event which which brought farmers and their families into town, and there weren't enough kitchen folks. The farmers put their horses and carriages in the three churches. The three principal streets were Main, Washington, and Church. The side streets south of Washington were only one block long. And Depot Street was the only street north of Washington. Those streets hadn't been opened up yet. All streets were just dirt roads, and what sidewalks there were made of boards. One thing about Freeland in those days, they were had better transportation than they had now. We had the trains, we had six trains a day, you know, three going each way. The bus. We used to have a bus and went from three different times a day. You could go in Morningsdale all day or you could get on the back of the moon. Nowadays we don't have a train.
Where did the bus? You mean the bus, there was a bus just from Freeland?
No, it started in Minden.
Oh.
Picked up passengers all around the way. I used to get on the Because I used to, we didn't have much of a library when I was teaching over here at first. And I used to go to Sagma on the bus and bring back 24 books from the library. And then I'd have to take them back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you can't, unless you have a car, you don't have much of any way to get around anymore.
I had a car, but I never liked to go. Anyway, my father was working and I went to visit crazy people. Oh, I haven't been asked yet what questions you had, but that's the early Freeland as I know it.
It covers a lot more than I thought of, really. Oh, I had a few questions, but they're real general. You covered most of them. I don't know. Let's see. And this one book I read. It's a history of the Saginaw Valley. Okay. In the history of the Saginaw Valley, it's this book by James Cook Mills. And he made a statement in there that in the early 1900s, Freeland had a large school of high standard. He said that in his history he wrote.
Had a school of high standard in 1900. Yes, I guess
it was. Do the community support it, or the state support it, or what? Covered most of these things. Like when the students in school, were they pretty regular? Well, I guess you already mentioned that the community was pretty much for education.
Yes, because that was one of the first things you see they built here was a school, a log school. Churches, they were interested in church and an education both.
Well, I was going to ask you, you mentioned that there was a Crampton that ran the ferry down Pierce Road. Is he any relation to the Cramptons that live in Freeland, well, near Freeland now? Do you know?
Well, I don't know of any Cramptons that live there now. Do you?
There's some over on Sorrel Road.
Yes, I expect he was way back then. I can remember that ferry. It wasn't nervous. Because I remember that when I had a little baby, a little girl. And I do not record it now.
Yeah, sure. It doesn't matter.
I remember that when we used to go down, see where Pierce Road came out. It didn't, the state farm, I think that's where the horses were kept for the state school in the early days. And so they left that and jogged the road, so it went down right there where Henning's house is. And we all called it the lake. So we used to take our cows from the pasture down to the river to drink down the lane. We all called it the little wild grapes growing along on that. And these cracks had that ferry on there. It was just a cable ferry, you know. And I remember seeing them living there in tents. She'd have her washing off on the one side. And with a little child, I thought, my, when I grow up, I hope I can live in a tent. But the Capitans had a ferry right down where the bridge is now.
Oh, yeah?
The bridge where there used to be a ferry. And they had a whole little building there where they'd wait. And when someone came along and used a ferry, if they were on this side, you see, they'd have to come over and get them and take them across. And they took, oh, I don't know, maybe before 3 or 4 horse and buggies at one time.
Wow.
I never had a chance to ride on it, but I wanted to. My aunt lived right there in that house on the corner of the Timber House. And said she wished she'd known that I wanted to ride on it, because she would have taken me across just to know for the ride. But children then were pretty bashful.
Yeah.
Make their wants known so much as they didn't know. Nowadays, children pretty much run the roost. So I have to ride on any of those ferries.
It must have been pretty big, though. The whole, it must have been pretty large. I wouldn't think of a ferry going across this river as being quite that big, you know, hold that a couple carriages. True.
But they were good in many ways. I have some happy memories of my childhood. My parents loved me and felt so secure, and oh, it was a peaceful day. Really look back with joy on my childhood.
That's a good thing to be able to do.
I was raised in the church, and all that was the church and the school and the home, those 3 things. That was all like everything was centered around me.
How far did they, how many grades did they have when you went to school? Did you, like, go all the way through 12th grade, like going to Saginaw? Did you go to Saginaw, like, for the last 2 years? Yeah.
Schools in Thomastown and Dutchville and
about how many students were going in them. This concludes the interview with Ms. Lewis.